Shalom aleichem, Rabbeisai. A good tevach. We are in Chavis Halavavis, Shah Bitachen, the seventh and final perek. In my Leib Tov edition, it's page Shin Ayin Ches. Page Shin Ayin Ches. Again, the Chavis Halvavis here is discussing what are the things that work against Bitachon. And what he's saying now is, Netoisai Elasibais HaKroivis, when a person attributes things to immediate cause and effect. In other words, a superficial perspective on what's going on. When a person sees the cause of the events in his life as the immediate natural cause that he sees in front of him. And let's see, in order to properly appreciate what the Chavis HaVavis is saying here, let's see the mashal that he gives. So again, we're going to start from Umehem Nitoisa. Again, in my Leib Tov edition, it's page Shin Ayin Ches. Umehem, one of the factors that work against Bitachon is Nitoisa Lasibas HaKroivis. When a person relates to the immediate cause and effect, he sees the immediate cause and effect as the cause of the events in his life. Like we said, if we use the mashal that we gave last time, what is the cause of my nourishment? What is the source of my nourishment? My fork. It's not the grocery store where the food came from. It's not the money that I used to buy the food. It's not the job that makes me the money. That's not my source of sustenance. My source of sustenance is my fork. That's very superficial. It's very narrow-sighted. So let's see how the Chavis. So it's the same thing when it comes to the events in our life. So let's see. Netoise al asibas hakrevus. When a person attributes the events of his life to the immediate cause and effect. Asher huroya oisan. The things that you immediately hit. Meet the eye as the cause of whatever happened in your life. V'lo yeda. He doesn't realize. Ki ha'ilois, kol asher tikravno mehama oilel, that when you have a chain effect, the closer the cause is to the end result, timat yecholta lohoil ha'ma'oilel la'zikoi. The closer it is to the end result, the less powerful it is. Take our mashal, right? You have, again, if a person is going to identify the source of his sustenance, and the candidates are the fork that he puts to his mouth, okay? The bag that he took the food out of, the grocery where he got the food from, the money that he used to buy the food, and the job that got him the money. So which is the least significant cause here? The least significant is the most immediate one. The fork is the least consequential. If you didn't have the fork, you would have used the spoon. If you didn't have a spoon either, you would make sure there was no polite company in the area and you would eat with your hands. The fork is not essential, right? That's a little further. The bag, it would have been complicated to eat lunch without that bag because you would have had to carry things home from the store like this. But you would have managed. You could have managed without the bag. Even though the food came from the bag is not the source of your sustenance. You would have gotten the food home somehow or the other, even without the bag. What if the grocery weren't there? Oh, if the grocery wasn't there, you would have had to go 2 blocks further to the supermarket. So the grocery is a more significant cause of your sustenance than the fork is. But it's still not really the cause. You would have gone to the supermarket. Even more fundamental is your job. But the job is already so far removed from the fork, from the food itself. But yeah, that's the point the Chavis HaLevavos is making, that actually the most powerful, the more powerful causes in the chain are the further removed ones. Let's see. Kol asher tirchakna, the further the cause is, yekach yecholtam le'iloi la'zikai yisr chazak v'nira, then their power to actually make or break the event, or what happened to you, whether good or bad, is actually stronger. And Kamaya Melech. Like, you know, let's continue our discussion here. So he said, oh, so what is really the cause of the food? It's your job. But 1 minute, you can go further than that. Behind the job is the talent. I have skills. Had I not had this job, my skills would have gotten me a different job. So if so, the skills are one step further back, but actually, they're a more important source than the job. And where'd you get the skills? From wherever you learned them. From your source of education. School that you learned in, let's say. The course that you took. That also is even more telling because, well, obviously you get where we're leading up to. Who provided you with those abilities? Who provided you with those opportunities? Hashem. So let's see what the mashal of the Chavis Halvavis gives. Kimaya Melech. You have a king. Let's say he decides he wants to punish somebody. Mitzave Mishnehu Lasas. So he commands the viceroy to make it happen. Ve Hamishne Mitzave Asar. And the viceroy, then coming, the king is not even busy dealing with the ministers. He has one point man that he talks to, his viceroy. The viceroy then identifies, contacts the minister, the relevant minister. Say, the minister of police. Okay? Batzah, Mitzava Ashaita. Okay, now he goes through a few different stages. I don't know exactly how we'll put this into practical terms, but let's say the minister, we'll call it the minister of the interior, okay? He contacts the chief of police. And the chief of police contacts the sergeant. And the sergeant commands the actual cop who's on the street. And the cop on the street, he actually implements the punishment with the tools that he has. What does he have? He has a club. So he goes and he gives the guy a few blows with the club. Now, which here is the least significant piece in this picture? Which here has the least power to actually decide to affect this person? Hey, Makalim, it's the club. The club is not a mando amar here. The club has no say here, right? The club is inanimate. The cop is more in control here than the club. The sergeant more than the cop. And the chief of police. The minister. The viceroy. And then, of course, ultimately, it's in the hands of the king. If he decides to just let it go, the whole thing is skipped. So here you see how that the actual power of any stage in the cause and effect directly corresponds to the further away the cause, the more powerful it is. The closer and more immediate the cause, the less significant and powerful it is. And therefore he's saying, and therefore Hashem himself, he is the furthest away on this chain of events, on the chain effect. And he is the original cause of it all. He really is the one who holds that power. And therefore, that's where we should attribute, that's where we should place our trust. He's really the cause of it all. Kasher kidamnu min advarim, as we've already discussed earlier. So this is really making a general point. Don't be superficial. Don't look at the immediate cause and effect in the natural sense. but see what's going on behind it. Connect to the divine dynamic. Oh, how relevant this is now. This is so relevant now with the parasha that we're going through now. The more you'll read, the more you'll get schlepped into the natural way of thinking. All the cause and effect talk about what needs to be done, what should be done, what isn't being done enough, et cetera, is so missing the point about that obviously Hashem is busy here with something very, very big. And don't get caught up. Certainly, we do have to be involved in the natural side of things. It's caution, vaccines, it's taking all the necessary steps we need to be taking, but that's not what this is about. To say that Corona begins and ends with people having to be careful and to do the vaccine or whatever it is, that is attributing things to the immediate cause and effect. We have to be aware and keep conscious of the fact that there's something big going on and to constantly be mindful of it and to be relating to it. We're not going to get into now how to understand it, that we've talked about plenty other times. How should we relate to it? But just this point, not to get caught up with the immediate cause and effect kind of mindset. This is very relevant, but we're not going to belabor the point. Okay, but this is what the Chavos HaLevavos is saying here. When it comes to all the events in your life, don't attribute it to the more natural immediate cause and effects. Don't attribute your success to your job. Don't attribute a certain problem in your life to a certain person, etc. Keep mindful of the one who's really pulling the strings, who's all the way at the beginning of that chain. So, if we'll just say it in one word, that this last point that he's saying here as an inhibition to bitachon is a mindset, a mentality of natural cause and effect. Always sense the divinity, the divine dynamic behind the things that are going on in your life. I'll just give one beautiful example of this. Maybe we said it here recently, I don't remember. But Israel Tauber makes this point. You know, before we go to sleep, when we get into bed, we're lying down, you say Kriya Shema Lamita. Kriya Shema Lamita opens with a paragraph in which you state, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Hareini Moichel, L'kol, Mishayichis V'iknitoisi. It's a paragraph that elaborates on our mechila to anybody who may have hurt me throughout the day. And it goes into detail, whether he did it deliberately, accidentally, this, however he might have hurt me monetarily, physically, in terms of my feelings, going on, and we provide absolute mechila for anybody who might have done something to me throughout the day. Rabbi Israel Tauber gives beautiful insight onto this. He says, we wake up in the morning, we start the day with Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, we declare Hashem Echad. Declaring Hashem Echad really is setting our sights for the day, kind of trying to create the mindset we're going to be operating with throughout the day. I begin the day with the realization that the world, my existence is me and Hashem. Anything that happens to me throughout the day is Hashem interacting with me. We move out of shul, we finish Shema, we finish Shemoneh Esrei. Moshe Bert makes sure that we finish saying Aleinu properly. Only then do we step out of shul. And then slowly. And then we step out into the world. And we quickly get caught up with everything that's going on. It's an intense world. There's a lot going on. There are aggravations throughout the day, etc. As idealistic Jews, we try to maintain that consciousness, but it's challenging. It's challenging. And throughout the day, there are different interactions. There's aggravations. There are offenses. There's things that happen. And I end the day and I'm mad at this one and I'm upset about that, etc. But you know what? As things quiet down to a close, darkness falls, I'm settling into bed, things are quiet now, and I'm regaining that focus. I'm saying, wait, I'm going back to that way of thinking. This was me and Hashem throughout the day today. That person who insulted me today was Hashem challenging me. Was Hashem telling me, here, I want to see how you're going to respond to this. You know what? Maybe at the time, I lost sight of that. But a delayed reaction is also of great value. If initially I missed the boat, but now that I'm back in bed and I'm focusing again, and I'm saying, now I'm ready to acknowledge that Hashem, this was all just you and me. And now I'm already ready to look differently at that person and the way he aggravated me today. This was Hashem, this was you testing me. And if so, now that I already am already able to see through it all and just go back to Hashem Echad, I say, you know what? Forget it. It wasn't him. I'm Michael. That person said this. This person did that. The other fellow disappointed me. Hashem, this was all you interacting with me, testing me, trying me. I'm ready to be Michael at all. This is coming back to the point of the Chovetz Halevavos. Don't attribute the events of your life, the big events and the small events, the little small annoyances throughout the day, to the big things in life. Don't look for the immediate natural cause, but attribute back to its true original source and relate accordingly. Okay, and so now the Chovetz Halevavos moves on to tie up this whole study. So if we want to encapsulate bitachon, the whole concept of bitachon, ki Yisrael habitachon me'abotchim elikim, that you know what the various levels of bitachon depend on, ki Yisrael yidiyos ha'moisoi. It depends on the level to which people know Hashem. In other words, this is how the Chazon Ish put it. The Chazon Ish said that what's the difference between emunah and bitachon? The Chazon Ish said it very interestingly, and this study deserves elaboration. The elaboration will have to wait. But he said, emunah is halacha, bitachon is lamaisa, meaning bitachon is emunah applied. Bitachon is emunah in real time. In other words, halacha versus lamaisa. You can learn Hilchas Shabbos on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but it's not lamaisa, right? When is it lamaisa? You learn on Tuesday that you have to use Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos. Now you have the halacha. The lamaisa is on Friday night when you're sitting down and you have one loaf of challah in front of you and you say, oh, I got to go get another one. That's what it's lamaisa. Now, what you learned on Tuesday is actually lamaisa. So emunah is halacha. You're learning that there is a Hashem. Bitachon is lamaisa. Bitachon means that, oh, 1 minute, Hashem is actually here now in real time doing whatever is going on now. So that's why he says, bitachon really is an option. The greater your emunah is, the greater your bitachon will be. Bitachon is an offshoot. It's a consequence of our emunah. That deserves more elaboration, but like I said, we will leave that Bezos Hashem for tomorrow. We'll end here for tonight. Kol tov. Agut avach, agut mchoydesh.
Thank you very much.